across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Call straight to air. Let's see what happens. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hi.
Hello, caller. Who is this, please?
It's Alan.
Alan.
Get it.
Have we spoken before?
Many a time.
What about? Remind me. My memory's not what it used to be.
Well, I come up with random nonsense. One minute I could be talking to you, but next minute I could be talking about bird eggs, which is on Sunday.
Okay, I could be talking about what?
Bird's eggs
on Sunday?
No, birthday. My birthday on Sunday.
Ah, well, you'll have to give us a call on Sunday and we'll celebrate it. We can't celebrate
it
2 days before.
Really,
you don't listen either, do you? Unlucky.
You're not on Sunday. It's Howard with the Unexplained.
Well, then you'll have to call either Howard Hughes or, if he's still poorly, Uncle Dre.
Who?
Exactly. What can we do for you tonight, person who's not having a birthday today?
Well, I feel worried about Valentine's because I've not had a single Valentine's card.
You surprise me. Well, I suppose your mum's still in hospital, isn't she?
I've got some news on me, Mum, actually.
Okay.
She might be out on Monday.
Yeah, we go. Well, maybe you'll get a Valentine's card then. Just saying.
Nah, when the magic's gone. Because I sent out 37 Valentine's cards today. And I didn't get
30...
one back.
Whoa. Hang on a second. Stop the clock. Time out. The show suddenly has a theme. You sent out 37 Valentine's cards to humans?
Yes.
Women?
37 females.
Who? To whom?
All the girls on the estate.
Gosh.
Where I live.
What a horny... Well, I assumed it was the one where you lived. What a horny estate. There's only 37 girls on your estate.
Well, 37 houses.
Okay, and you sent... now, are these, like, married women, or...?
That's the thing, I didn't come there from maybe I had to guess who they're from.
Right. No, well, that's irrelevant to the question I asked. The women you sent them to, are they married?
35 of them were single, 2 were married.
2 were married. You're going to get your bleeping head kicked in.
No, but they think it's from their fella. That's the thing.
Ah, so you've helped their fellas out. I'm assuming their fellas also have childish scrolls. But the other 35, they're not married.
Not married.
And they're grown women.
That's right.
And they didn't send you a card.
Because 35 of them were lesbians.
Okay, Alan, thank you very much indeed. It's only vaguely insulting. No, actually, it's massively insulting. I do apologise. It's massively insulting. Let's go to... But what an estate. I mean, I wonder if research has been done as to why 35 out of 37 women on that estate are lesbians. Line 2, you're on the wireless.
Bonjour,
monsieur. Au revoir. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. We'll take calls straight to air, I think, maybe for the whole night, because I haven't done any prep at all. Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian?
Yes?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
It's who?
Yeah, I didn't expect to get through so quick.
This isn't, running... You sound like, fast-running Keith.
No, listen, right? We have spoke before.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Remember when you were singing, Eddie Grant wrong?
I don't remember...
Oh, yeah, you've got a record shop, so you know better.
I don't remember singing Eddie Grant wrong. I remember singing Eddie Grant.
Yeah,
he did. I remember right, okay. Singing...
Anyway,
baby,
yeah,
come back. Boom, boom, da, da, da.
Yeah,
I remember singing that, yes.
Yeah. Do you remember? Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why I just referenced it in quite big detail, because, yeah, I remember.
That was Brexit night, if you remember rightly.
No, it was Eddie Grant, I think.
Yeah.
It was the Equals. No, they were called the Equals.
It was the same night as Brexit night, so I was a little bit drunk, I'll be honest with you.
Okay. And what's your excuse for being a knobhead today?
Am I being a knobhead?
You...
Can I intervene in
an attempt to salvage this before it goes any further south?
Yeah, go on.
If you talk at the same time as Ian, no one can hear you. Also,
sorry.
You're coming across a little bit aggressive. I don't know whether that's nerves or something.
Really? No, not at all. Honestly, that's kind of why I phoned up. because if you remember on that night, I was quite drunk, to be honest with you. And Ian did say that, Christ, he's so angry. He's so angry, you know.
Very angry. Very angry, man.
Yeah, but, you know, in real life, I'm not.
Great, thank you very much for your call. I mean, I really want to... Tonight's show is my last show for a week. This could be the show. Next week, I'm going to be considering my life and my career. It's not an exaggeration. Next week, I'm going to be doing a lot of streaming. But I'm also going to be meditating on my life and my career. Genuinely. Right? A lot of big changes could be happening. Or, if they're not obvious changes, there'll be changes in my attitude. So let's try and make this show one of the best. Let's go to line three. You're on the wireless.
Good evening. To celebrate our Valentine's Day today, we took our kitten to have his nuggets removed.
Thank you very much indeed. Now we're talking. Now we've got a show. Let's go to line four. You're on the wireless.
Yeah.
Pardon? Okay, I mean, okay.
It's a shame.
What was that? Line five? Four? Five? Line six, you're on the wireless.
Hello, it's Dean.
Hello, Dean.
How are you?
What have you got for us, Dean? This is a fast-paced, boom-bada-bing-bada-bong-bong-bong.
What it is, I actually been having a hard day today. You know, my daughter died and...
Yes.
I was really reflecting on it today and found it really, really hard.
It hit you today, did it?
I've been sober for 24 years.
Yeah.
And I got very close to having a drink tonight.
No. How's that? Just fast forward the tape. Just fast forward the tape a few hours. So you have a beer or a glass of wine. Fast forward it 5 hours. Where are you?
Sorry?
Just imagine you've had that glass of beer or wine or whatever it is.
I'll be down in the ground again, I think.
There you go, exactly. And so that's why the ability to fast... Hang on, Dean. You've got to listen. The ability to fast forward the tape is a great skill. If you're thinking of doing something, fast forward the tape and see where you're going to end up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my granddaughter actually come round because she phoned me up to see how I was, and I said, yeah, I'm fine. And next thing, she was coming round and said, you're not fine, are you, Grumps?
There you go.
She said, where is it? I said, what? She said, the bottle. I said, well, there's one left in the cupboard. So she said, shall we tip it away? I said, yeah, go on then.
Good work.
And then she sat with me for about 2 hours.
Beautiful.
Just generally chatting and things. And it made me feel better, you know?
There you go. How old is she?
She's 10.
Okay. I'm going to say something.
It made me feel a bit ashamed, you know?
Well, listen, no, don't feel ashamed, but...
Mm.
Don't feel ashamed, but... It is unfair, I'm not telling you off, and I don't want you to feel ashamed.
Yeah.
You can't put that responsibility on a 10-year-old. That's not fair.
No.
That's not fair.
I didn't want her to come round.
No, but... But she's 10. She's a baby. She's a baby. You're a grown man.
Absolutely.
This is your responsibility.
Absolutely.
And you can't allow that worry to be on the shoulders of a 10-year-old. That's not fair, is it?
No.
Especially a 10-year-old who's lost her mum.
I understand what you're saying.
Especially a 10-year-old that's lost her mum.
That's why I feel ashamed.
No, well, don't feel ashamed, because shame is the trick. Shame is the thing that will get you out there drinking again. So forget the shame. Mm-hmm. It's done. But just bear in mind, next time, phone me up, phone AA up, phone Samaritans up, phone, speak to an adult, because it's not fair.
Yeah.
And I know that she came round and she sounds like an amazing kid. What a blessing to have. But she's still a baby.
She's amazing.
But she's a baby.
I said to her I was all right, and she said, and then she put the phone down, and next thing she was here, you know.
She's a baby, and it's not fair for us. It's not fair for us to put that responsibility or that worry on the shoulders of babies.
Yeah, well, I'm having no more drink in the house at all.
Good. Don't get it in there. You don't need it.
No.
Good. No, Dean, you're a good man. I'm going to move on. You're a good man, and well done for getting through it. Fast forward the tape. Let's go to line... That was all right, wasn't it? That wasn't too abrupt or harsh or anything. Good, thank you, Catherine. We'll introduce Catherine in a minute, because she's sitting here huffing and puffing. I don't know what... There's some vibe. Line three, you're on the wireless.
Hello, is that me?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. So you've got a week off next week?
How can I help you, caller?
So you've got a week off next week?
Okay, and how can I help you now?
Well, I'll help you, okay? During your week off, okay, Google the blockbuster moment, okay? And then ask yourself how much longer you're going to be able to sit there like a lunatic doing a crap radio program humiliating people that call into you.
Oh, here we
See
go.
See you later.
No, he's going to put the See phone down. Sean, don't put the phone down. Sean, I want to talk to you. Sean! What's the blockbuster? I'm not going to Google it because I don't. But why don't you just tell me what it is? And then you can tell... Well, just tell me what it is first. Don't put the phone down. Let's have a conversation, all right?
Okay, cool.
So what is it? Because I'm not going to...
humiliate me then for once, are you? You know, you remember Blockbuster Video?
I don't know what you mean. The shop?
Yeah.
Right. What about it?
That dominated the media thing. Everybody used to go and get their...
It didn't dominate the media. It didn't dominate... Sean, we'll have a conversation. Blockbusters didn't dominate...
We'll have a conversation if you let me speak.
Well, no, Sean, I will do, but I will pick you up on rubbish that you say. Blockbuster Video dominate...
Listen, I'll put the phone down in a minute.
Well, you will do because you're a coward, Sean. And I know you've got that Twitter account and you're a coward, but Blockbuster Video didn't dominate the media. Blockbuster Video... Let's address the thing that you've said. Blockbuster Video didn't dominate the media. That's a really dumb thing to say. What Blockbuster Video did is, for a long, long time, it was the leading renter of videos and then DVDs. That's not dominating the media, Sean. Okay, so we've cleared that up. Away you go.
Well, I'd like to go back a bit, actually. You called me a coward?
When was that, Sean?
Well, about 45 seconds ago. You said, I know you've got that Twitter account and you're a coward.
Right, okay. And?
Well, answer my question.
Well, I don't know what the question is. You're not very good at this, Sean.
Why am I a coward? Look, you're the broadcaster.
Correct.
I'm the guy in the street. Okay?
You're the guy that listens and you're the guy that listens and tweets and phones up.
Listen, I'm the person that your advertisers... need to have.
No, Sean, we don't. Sean,
have a job.
Sean, doesn't work like that. They're not that bothered about
yeah,
the fee. Sean, it,
no, it
Sean,
no, it
trust me,
no,
they're
it
not
does.
That bothered.
If you don't have advertisers.
Sean,
it's people like
Sean,
me.
Hello.
It's people like me.
Sean, hello.
Hello, you. Hello.
Hello,
no,
Sean.
You. Hello. No, you. Hello. Hello.
I know you are, but what am I? I mean, this is the level of this guy's argument. I know you are, but what am I?
You are.
Here we go. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody, please. Sean is about... I bet he can't go without doing a swear. Sean is about to tell me what I am. He doesn't understand what Blockbuster Video was, or what the media is, or how this radio station works. But Sean is about to tell me, dear listener, what I am. Are we ready? I think so. Let's have a listen. Sean, what am I?
You're a dying medium, because exactly what you've just done, okay, not letting me speak for the last 30 seconds, and basically...
I'm not a medium, I'm a radio host, I don't speak to the dead.
No, you're a medium, you are a medium.
Well, I'm not, I'm an extra large, I'm a 46.
What you don't understand, is that you're...
Oh, is this the sort of person who used to ring us up at the BBC and say, I pay your wages, so I should be able to say what I want?
This is the guy who tweets in from time to time and, for some reason, doesn't like the show, but...
Can't stop listening.
Cannot stop listening. He's obsessed. There's a famous saying in radio. We'll come back to you in a second, Sean, if you've got the balls to hang on. There's a famous radio saying, it's a fella... What's the fellow with the hair? American Private Parts, that guy. Yeah. Howard Stern. The people that like me listen to me for an hour. The people that hate me listen to me for 3 hours. And it's great. Keep listening. Like or hate, I don't care. It's all numbers. for me. I don't chase numbers anymore, but it's all numbers. Still going?
Phone the insurance companies in 6 months' time.
Insurance
and
company.
Ask them to advertise for you and pay your wages. Because guess what? They'll say no.
That's not how it works like that, Sean. Doesn't
audience like
Sean?
Yes, it is.
Does it, Sean? It's not. We don't. I don't have to phone up an insurance company. Is this guy real?
Well,
is he doing a character? Also, you don't ring up an insurance company. Hello, it's Ian Lee. I work at Talk Radio. Would you like to advertise with me and pay my wages? Doesn't work like that, Sean. Doesn't work like that.
Yes, it does. You're a commercial radio.
All right,
station.
Sean. All right.
Where do your wages come from? Yeah, go on.
There we go, Sean. You dropped the F-bomb. Is that the best you got? I told you. I knew how that would end. The F-bomb and then a hang-up. Sean, I tell you who pays my wages. I can tell you. I can tell you their name. It's Rupert Murdoch. He pays my wages, and I am very, very grateful for it. It's not some weird insurance company. What was the Blockbuster thing about?
I don't know, but I think Sean's made it quite clear that he's not our target audience, so why would we change the show to please him anyway?
Sean tweets absolute nonsense to me, and I block it every time I come in. I block it for 24 hours, so I can't see it on here. And
fancy being that cross about 3 hours of radio. It's nuts. You know when sometimes you do GMB?
Yes, Good Morning Britain. That's
if you read the feed of that, it's a similar thing. It's people who only ever tweet Good Morning Britain and have a kind of director's commentary going on.
Sean, if you want to call back, you'd be very welcome, but you've got to watch that potty mouth. I'm really disappointed. Not surprised, because you sounded thick, but disappointed that you had to sink to that level. I hadn't even got out of second gear. I was just pootling down to the end of the street in second gear. And you had to drop an F-bomb and then hang up? Shawnee baby. Shawnee baby, come on, man. You can do better than that. 0344 499 1000. Oh, happy Valentine's Day. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Call straight to air, 0344 499 1000. As you know, this show is about love and it's about peace and it's about spreading goodwill and positivity. Now, Sean, I will let you back on, but can't have any more of those F-bombs or that potty language, and try not to shout. With that in mind, Sean, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Would you like to apologise? Welcome back to my show. I mean, I know you are, but what am I? Would you like to apologise to me, to Catherine and to Amy for that foul language that you spouted?
Well, yeah, I will. But when you're gaslighted, you know...
Would you like to apologise, or do you think it's acceptable? Do you think it's acceptable to swear in front of young women?
No, not at all.
Away you go, then apologise.
Do you think it's acceptable to gaslight your...
One thing at a time. Would you like to apologise for swearing in front of young women?
Yes.
Go on, then.
I apologise for swearing in front of anybody. Doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman.
Well done. Good. Okay, good. So we now accept... You have accepted that by shouting an F-bomb and slamming the phone down, you sank to a childish level. Now, what's this about gaslighting, Sean?
Well, I don't really want to discuss that. You can.
Oh, sorry, you brought it up twice. I know what gaslighting means. You brought it up twice. I thought you did.
I'm not going to get into that.
Oh, you brought it up.
Are you going to let me talk or
well,
not?
Well, no, here's the thing, Sean. You brought up gaslighting. I assumed you wanted to talk about it. That's my mistake. I apologise. Sean, what would you like to talk about? Is it Blockbuster videos again? Shawnee baby?
Oh, is his phone conked out?
I think Sean is conked out. Hello, Sean?
But he's going to think we're doing a thing now, and we're not.
Well, but you would say that.
Well, I am saying that. It's true.
Sean! This is the thing. It's not as easy as it looks.
I think he's muted himself.
Sean, you might have muted yourself, mate. We're not doing this. You've done this. Have a look at your phone. If you're not talking...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you now that you've unmuted yourself, yes.
Can Okay, yeah, I think I might have had my thumb over the...
Oh, you had your thumb over the mouthpiece. My God, and this guy phones me up to criticise me for doing a radio show. He can't even do a phone call. Sean, what would you like to say? Is it about Blockbuster videos or some other nonsense? Sean?
I'll start from the beginning, okay?
Yes, okay,
and
Sean.
If you can give me a minute.
It depends if it's dull or if you talk nonsense. I will have to pull you up. That's my job. You're not getting special treatment.
Fine. Listen, I don't care. I don't really care. You
obviously do care. You've called me twice and you've sworn in one of those phone calls. You seem to be quite passionate about something.
I'll tell you what I care about. I'll tell you what I really, really care about.
Okay.
The quality of the media in this country now.
Okay.
You know, we are an optimistic country being dragged down by a pessimistic media. And the Blockbuster effect is that Blockbuster once owned the whole video game.
They didn't, but they were big. They were market leaders, but they didn't own the whole thing, no. There were still quite a few independent video retailers. Yeah. Post offices did a lot of them.
What they didn't do is look 5-3 years ahead of themselves.
Right. Sean, I'm just going to nudge you off Blockbusters because that's irrelevant. What's
so boring.
Well, you listen every night and you tweet me every night, don't you?
First of all, no, I don't. I'm not on Twitter as Sean.
No, I know you're not on as Sean. I know who you're on as.
What am I on as?
Oh, I'm not sharing that information. That is classified.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm as. Basic Element.
There we go. Okay, because you're too scared to use your real name online. And I get that. That's fine. When you're bitter little man, it's easy to hide behind pseudonyms.
I'm on as my company.
Your
my company.
Basic Element. Wow. Sean, I'm not going to let you plug. I'm not going to let you plug your company. You have to pay for that on here.
Hang on. Are you a radio consultant?
No, I'm a trader.
Okay, well, you have to, as you know, Sean, as you know so much about the industry, you have to pay to advertise on talk radio, so we're not going to advertise your company. So, to make this easier.
No, I am not the Sean, okay? And I
you
don't
are not
even
the Sean.
Follow you.
Right, okay. But you
I'm
listen
not
and
the
you
Sean
phone
that
up.
You think I am.
You listen and you phone
guess
up.
What? Guess what? I don't even follow you.
I don't care less. Give me some examples. Give me three.
You do care less.
Give me three. I literally don't care. Give me three radio presenters that you like, so I can just see where you're coming from.
I like Nick Ferrari.
Yeah, he's great. He's one of the best.
I like Julia in the morning. Oh, what's her name? Julia.
What's her name?
In the morning on talk radio.
And that's because Julia, she's like outside of she's outside of the MSM, right?
Well, she's just very good.
Yeah, she says what everyone thinks, and she's outside of the MSM, right?
Well, she just talks her heart. She just...
Yeah,
just
and real. Sean, here's the thing. Shut your face. You're a rude little oik. Here's the thing. I talk my heart, and you don't like the sound of my heart. It could be argued that Julia and Nick are way ruder than me, but you agree with their politics, and that's fine. I can't listen to Julia's show, but I do listen to Nick. He's one of the greatest broadcasters there is. I disagree with almost everything he stands for politically, almost everything, but he's a great broadcaster. And you like them because they speak from the heart and their heart is in tune with your heart. Sean, you will not find a show that speaks more from the heart than this show, but you don't like the sound of my heart. And that's fine. But why do you keep listening? Why do you keep listening? Why does the sound of my heart get you so angry? There's other shows you could listen to. You could listen to Nick Abbott right now on LBC. Shows on 5 Live, shows on BBC Local Radio that will be more in tune with what you think your heart is saying. But I know why you listen. You listen because you're unhappy, possibly lonely, certainly dissatisfied with the way your life has turned out. And you hear something in this show, and you hear something in me that makes you sad, because there's something missing from your life. And it gets you angry. It gets you angry because you know that you've missed opportunities. You know that you've made wrong decisions. Maybe decisions for money instead of love. Maybe decisions for personal wealth instead of for art. decisions that didn't make you happy. And you know that because you listen to this show, which is about happiness, which is about joy, which is about love. That's why you listen. That's why you get angry. That's why you think you hate me. And you know what, Sean? I am happy to be hated by you. I'm happy to be the person that you hate. I'm nominated for 2 awards, as is Catherine. We're about to get our contract renewed for another year. So hate me as much as you want. I am proud to be your figure of hate. If it helps you at some point realize the mistakes that you have made in your life and leads you towards happiness, Sean.
Boring, boring man. And you're too scared to let anybody that disagrees with you have a voice. That's why you keep talking over me. This is a phone-in show. Now you put the phone down on me.
No, carry on, Sean. We're listening.
We're listening. We're letting you speak because I love you.
This is a phone-in show. This is a show where you let members of the general public phone in to you and express their point of view.
I love you.
And all the time they're doing that, if you're just going to talk over them...
I love
and,
you,
first
Sean.
First of all, humiliate them.
I love
come
you.
On the radio like you did 2 nights ago, and just the first thing you said was, I hate Britain. I hate this
Sean.
Country.
We weren't into it 2 nights ago.
What I like about this
I love you. I love you.
Yeah, go on.
I love you.
Good. Then I'll tell you what, let's have a chat every night. Every night, 10:05, when you come on air...
You can't book a slot. You can't book a slot, but you can certainly phone us more than... It won't be every night. We kind of limit it to about...
And most of all, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little tip, okay?
I don't... Sean, I don't need tips from you. That would be unfair. You're a professional. You can certainly come on. I would say we tend to kind of limit the callers to about 3 calls a week, as a lot of the regulars will say. You can't book a slot. But you can certainly call in, Sean. And Sean, here's the thing. When I say this, my tongue is not in my cheek, okay? I'm not being flippant. I love you, Sean.
All right. Why?
Because I feel your pain and your confusion, and you're a human being. I love all human beings.
The reason you love me...
I love you.
The reason you love me is that you feel my passion about... broadcasting and entertaining.
It's not, it's
and
not.
You're getting it wrong.
No.
You're getting it wrong.
So, okay, all right, but I love you, Sean.
You've got to play to your audience, you know?
I love you, Sean.
Your audience.
I love you. Genuinely, I love you.
I don't care, really.
I know you don't, and that makes it even more pure. That makes the love even more pure. It's not, I don't need it reciprocated. I love you, Sean. I hope you can find happiness.
I think you're a terrible broadcaster. I don't think you have deserved to go anywhere near a radio show.
Okay, but you keep listening, and I love you. And I love you.
Selling advertising.
I love you.
Oh, good. You're pathetic. I don't love you, and I'm going to go and listen to a Joe Rogan podcast now.
He's great. And he's a great. He's a great podcaster. I love him too.
Yeah.
Sean, open your heart to my love. Open your heart to my love.
I tell you what, you make me love you and I'll open my heart, but right now I don't love you.
It's not my job to make you love me. All I can do is offer you my complete, unconditional... All I can do, Sean, is offer you my complete, unconditional love. Unconditional means I don't expect anything back from you. I don't expect anything back from you. I love you, brother. I hope you're well. I hope your journey improves. I just wish you nothing but the best.
I hope your journey improves.
Thank you. Thank you.
You won't be on air in a year. Look up the Blockbuster effect.
I'm not going to... You keep talking about a video chain store. I'm not... I'm about to renew my contract for 12 months.
No, it's not a video chain... No, it's not a video chain store.
I'm not going to look it up, Sean. I don't click on links, so I'm not going to look up something that you've said. But I love you, man. I really do wish you the best.
Yeah, I don't really care.
It doesn't matter whether you care or not. The love is there.
Well, I'm not accepting it.
You can't. Here's the beauty of love. You can't refuse it.
Well, I'll tell you what you can when you've got a choice of other mediums.
You can't refuse it. You can't refuse it. And our conversation is going to percolate in your brain for weeks.
People like me dribble away and your listening figures go down.
We've got the highest figures we've ever had. We've got the highest figures for this show we've ever had.
Well, that's That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, no, you're saying the figures are going down, Sean, so it's the exact opposite of what you're saying. I love you, brother. No, I'm going to let you go, Sean. I'm going to let you go because you're quite dull.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you go. And
I love you.
You in it, because I think you're horrible.
I love you.
But, yeah, go on. Bye-bye.
I love you, Sean, and I forgive you for swearing.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sean. I love you, brother.
Yeah. I forgive you for saying you hate Britain.
Thank you. I do hate it, but I love you.
Bye.
Bye, Sean. I love you.
Bye. Me and 1,000 listeners have just dribbled off. Good luck with your advertising, mate.
I love you, Sean.
Yeah. Go on. Off you go. You couldn't give a... Who cares?
You seem to, brother. And I wish you didn't care so much.
No. If you love me, you put the phone down first.
Oh.
I'll sit with you all night, Sean. I've got 2.5 hours. I'll sit with you all night, brother, until we work this thing out.
Okay. All right. No, if you love me, no, it's like the lovers, isn't it? You say, no, I love you. You put the phone down. No,
was
no,
the
I
lovers,
love
the lovers was the guy from Porridge, wasn't it?
Huh?
Wasn't the lovers, wasn't that the guy from Porridge? Ronnies, the other guy, the younger one.
It's an urban thing, isn't it? We're lovers, you know.
No, there was a TV series.
I love you. Well, Porridge is a TV series.
Yeah, but no, there was Beckinsale, was that his name? He was in a series called The Lovers, Richard Beckinsale and Paula Wilcox.
Yeah, I think they were, actually. What's her name, Beckinsale? She's daughter of the Hollywood star.
Is it Kate Beckinsale? She plays like a vampire hunter or something in a movie, I think.
Yeah. What was that called?
I can't remember. I remember the outfit.
The doctor from the original Dracula.
But he died...
Van Helsing.
The book of Dracula. Van Helsing.
He died, was he like 38 or something? He died of a heart attack or something, didn't he? Really young.
Yeah, really young. It was a massive shock, actually. And she was... And her sister, who was in that... What was that program about the firemen years ago?
London's Burning
or something?
London's Burning. Was her sister in that?
Her youngest, I think. Yeah, she was in that. And then she's the older daughter, and she did big in Hollywood. It was a massive disaster. I mean,
just think of what he could have done. It's one of those people, you just think, what he could have achieved. He was so great. Yeah, just starting out on a career. So great. It's a real loss.
I tell you, I sometimes go on YouTube and watch Porridge. And
it's so well written.
You know,
there's nothing is wasted in Porridge. There's no line or word is wasted.
It's all stripped down. It's amazing.
I liked, you know, it's so long since I've seen it. What was the name of the, not Mackay, the slightly dappy prison guard? Remember, there was a slightly sort of soft one that they used to bully a little bit. I can't remember what his name was. I haven't seen it for years.
I can't remember either.
I might binge that this weekend.
It is fantastic. It is amazing. Honestly, if you go back and watch that...
Yeah, I will.
It will never let you down. It's just amazing. The other one that I've been watching a little bit of recently is Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister.
Now, see, I was too young when they went out, and I was wondering about this the other day. Would they stand the test of time? In 2020, would they still be funny?
I don't know. It's a good question, that, actually. I don't know whether you could rewrite that.
Well, but I don't know if would the old ones... The thing is now, because now politics is crazy anyway, but would the old ones still be funny? When did you last watch Yes Minister?
Oh, only a couple of days ago.
And did you laugh?
You go back and you... Oh, man, you just cry with laughter.
There you go.
I mean, if you go on YouTube and you look up some of the short scenes, you get like 3 minutes of a scene.
Yeah.
And you watch them talk about the European Union and why we're in the European Union.
There you go.
And the guy says, well, you know, the only reason we joined the European Union was to ruin Europe.
There you go.
You know, we've had a long history of, you know, interjecting in other countries' politics. And, and it's just amazing. And there are just scenes in there that are just comedy stripped down. I mean... An aside, okay, I love Seinfeld, and I don't know whether you watch,
Don't say Larry Sanders.
Curb
Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, Larry David, yes. He's the best.
There was an interview with he did a talk show.
Yeah.
Where, they said, okay, what we're going to do is, like, imagine your day with Larry David.
Oh.
So he went onto this show and he did the production meetings on this show, and they're all talking about ideas. And they had Larry David sitting there, and he was going, no, you can't do this. Basically, what they said was that the skill and expertise of Larry David, when, you know, you think you've written a comedy sketch, and Larry David would just go back and say, no, your timing's not right.
Polish up.
You need to tell that joke on this upbeat, not that upbeat. And they were saying that the skill of Seinfeld and Larry David...
I think they call it punching it up. You punch a sketch up when you make something that's funny, even funnier. I'm being told it was Barraclough in Porridge.
Barraclough.
That was it.
Like Mr. Barraclough.
That was it.
Yeah.
Sean, nice to talk to you. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Well, listen, man, you know, have a great holiday.
Thank you, mate.
And I don't mean you any harm at all. I just would love to see the media survive in this country.
I agree.
You know, I want to tune in and listen to you. You know, we have a great country. We're an optimistic place to live in. And right now, the media are just downbeating us with pessimism.
All right.
You know,
Sean,
and, you know,
I've got to move on because I'm late for the ad. It's nice to talk to you, Sean, and we'll talk
again.
You
loved me earlier.
I love you.
Now I love you.
Thank you, brother.
And I'm not sure enough of Twitter, I promise you.
All right. Listen, it's nice to talk to you, and I'm glad we found some common ground. Have a nice weekend. We'll speak soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great week off.
Thank you, Sean.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm Catherine Boyle. I'll be riding solo this week, so please do keep me company right through till Friday. I'll be on the usual number, 03444991000. I hesitated then, because I'm not usually the one saying it. 03444991000. We can talk about whatever you fancy. Usual rules apply. I know that it's sounding slightly more feminine than the usual, but I ain't apologising for it. Just deal with it. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I've been kind of dreading coming in, especially doing the show by myself today, because it's been one of those weekends where the atmosphere has been really kind of heady. And I'm not dreading coming in because I don't want to be here, but because I really don't know how to, what to say after this weekend, and how to do the least harm after this weekend. Where, you know, we have another poor soul who couldn't see her way to another day. That's all we really know about the situation, isn't it? The rest is guesswork. And if you look online, my God, I had to shut it down after a while. But if you look online, the blame is being chucked around. And for sure, from the outside looking in, there are obvious elements to what was going on that you and I would find really difficult if it was to happen to us, and maybe impossible to deal with if it was happening to us. But the truth is that none of us know really what went on, and none of us have got the right to tell Caroline's story with certainty, especially because, you know, inevitably doing that, you'll be catching other people in the crossfire as we go. Now, speaking from my personal experience, I've only been on the very edge of a media whirlwind a couple of times over the last few years. You know, I've been the one keeping the secrets that others were guessing about and trying to winkle out in emails to agents and stuff. You know, and I've also been the friend picking up the phone in the middle of the night on one occasion, and I'm not breaking any confidences here because he's told you about it himself, but running across town to stop my friend jumping off a bridge. I was the one standing guard afterwards to make sure he was safe. And you know what? As a friend, you want to be the person to do that. It's your honour. It's your honour that they've confided in you at that moment when they really couldn't see a way out of something. And I'm really glad I was there. But I'm not going to pretend that that wasn't a living nightmare that whole time. So if it was a living nightmare for me, I can only imagine how it was for the person at the centre of it all. And if you haven't been there, you're really lucky. You've got no idea. So, you know, while there's probably some comfort in pointing the finger and finding a bad guy in all this, because it kind of makes sense of something so sad and so tragic. And you know what? Signing a petition, trying to change the law, if that's what you feel you need to do, that's great. You know, you're a small cog in the wheel of trying to steady a runaway train that has been building up over time. And it might make a change in 5 or 6 months' time. And that change might be important. But you know what? Inevitably, it probably will not be as sweeping as what you would like. But it is something, right? It is something. And it will make you feel better, perhaps for 5 or 6 days. But let's be honest, it probably won't scrape the surface of what is a really complicated problem. And one, as I say, that's built up over years. So what can we do? I don't want you to feel helpless in this. I don't want any of us to feel helpless. That's kind of at the core of it all. Let me bring you back to something I've been falling back on a lot. And it's helped me time and time again, right? Other people's behaviour is on them. Your reaction to it is all you've got. So let me ask you, how clean is your side of the street? Did you really need to scream abuse at that footballer this weekend? Weren't he playing on your side? Why did you send that tweet? Do you need to voice your disapproval online to someone who might already have received half a dozen sweary bits of not-so-constructive criticism that day? Why do you think they need to know what you think at that moment? And how would you feel if someone spoke to your partner or your kids or your sister or your brother, someone you cared about like that? Why did they deserve it? And if you aren't using your real name online, I'd be really interested to know why. Why you wouldn't want to explain your actions to your boss or client. Is that who you really are, that person online? Because I'd suggest it can't be, otherwise you would be standing by it. Hate can only breed more hate. It's totally natural to feel angry and frustrated. We've been here before. That's the tragic thing. We have been here before. And anger and frustration is a reaction to feeling out of control. But the good news is you are in control. You are in control. There will always be people you disagree with or disapprove of in life and online. And you're not the ghost of Twitter yet to come. You are not the person who's going to set them straight. And you calling them a cockwomble isn't going to change their ways. You're actually making them louder because you give them something to kick against. So here's a radical idea. What about letting someone you know or you don't know that you think that they're doing a great job, that they've made you laugh or they've made you think or they've made you pick up a book you haven't thought about for ages or listen to a piece of music that lifted your heart for a moment? Gosh, yeah, she's talking about feelings. Brace yourselves. People that make you feel better about yourself. And wouldn't you like to be that person that makes someone else feel a bit better about themselves rather than worse? It's a small thing, but, you know, if enough of us do it, it could make a difference. And I would say we've got nothing to lose by trying, but that's not true, is it? So that's what I'm throwing open to you. Have a little think about your side of the street. I'm going to think about mine. And, you know, imagine that person was someone you knew. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Honestly, give me a ring. We can talk about anything you want to. 0344 499 1000. Here's Sean. Hi, Sean.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You sound a bit far away from your phone.
No, I was just then. I just picked it. I was on the headphones. My headphones don't bloody work.
All right.
I had to quickly unplug them. Were you on the phone the other night with Ian Lee when I called in?
I was in the studio the other night.
When I called in, I'm Sean that called in and had the horrible argument with Ian, and then we ended up thinking about porridge. And
yeah, and do you know what, Sean? That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, I felt the same, you know, and you followed me on Twitter. I won't say my name on Twitter. I'm not under my own name, but there is a reason for that because I'm on for the sake of for my business. And
can I ask you about that? I've not looked at your account. I don't know. Do you just tweet business stuff from that account?
No, I use Twitter because I'm a currency and commodity trader.
Right.
Okay? So I use Twitter as a curated news feed. So if there's any news about, you know what Twitter's like, I mean, if anything happens, I mean, sadly, I think it was Saturday night, I happened to be on Twitter, and I saw the thing about Caroline dying, and a thing came up, it said, newsflash, Caroline, I can't remember her second name now, you know, I'm nervous, I'm on the radio, died, and I looked at the time thing on it, and it was like 1 minute that I got that thing.
Yeah.
And I sometimes go and do my work in a Starbucks because I'm a trader. I can work at home on my own, you know, and you just sit there on your own watching the screens, watching the market. So very often I'll go and sit in a Starbucks in Brighton.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir there, because sometimes I'll make the podcast and I'll think, oh, I'm not going to sit looking at these four walls again today. Let's go out.
Exactly.
I look at different four walls.
Exactly. And I have a lovely situation in Starbucks, you know, because I have, like, Korean students come and sit near me, a couple of old boys, you know, one, in fact, that has just had a heart attack. I haven't seen him for a week, and he turned up today, and he's safe, thank God. And I was in Starbucks actually on Saturday afternoon because I had a document to write while the markets closed. And it was about 5 o'clock. And I went outside to smoke a cigarette. And I came back in and I looked at my laptop and I saw Bump Caroline had died.
Yeah.
And I said to a couple of the staff, do you know who she is? They said, yeah. And I said, she's just died. And everybody in the place just suddenly got on their phones and looked at it, you know?
Yeah.
And, so that's my use of Twitter. I look at it because if the oil market changes, if something happens in the gold market, if something happens in, you know, commodity exchange, it comes in just like that Beth did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I use it. And I make comments and, you know, I'm not a big global warming fan, so sometimes I'll talk about that and I'll get attacked. And
right, and do you do that from your work account?
Yes, I do. Most things. You know, but I think you followed me the other day, and there's a picture of me on there, Rolling Stones concert. You know, I've got my own photograph on there.
No, it wasn't me that followed you. I don't follow many people, but I get it. And you're not unusual in that people, you know, who are one-man businesses or one-woman businesses will, you know, have an account that's a bit of everything.
Yeah, the other day after I had that conversation with Ian, I followed him,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody followed me, which I thought was the girl that was in the studio with him on that day, which I thought was you.
Well, it was, but it wasn't. Oh. I am that woman, but I'm not that Twitter person.
All right, fine. Well, I promise I won't let you down. But your monologue at the start, and I know you're nervous in there, you know, doing the show.
I'm not nervous. I wanted to be really careful about what I said.
It was brilliant. What you've just said absolutely caught the zeitgeist, you know. And the reason I phoned in to Ian the other night, and we went through that horrible, difficult situation and ended up being friends, was that what I wanted to call in actually to say, and Ian kept doing that thing, talking over me, going, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I kept, you know, and I sort of said F off and put the phone down and phoned back in, and we went through this whole drama. And what I was actually trying to say when I called in that night was to say, you know, we're living in a world at the moment where we're all divided. You know, I'll give you an example. My son, Eli, is 18 years old. When he was 3 months old, my ex-wife, sadly, his mother, was out shopping one day. And I had a business in Bermuda at the time, a currency trading business in Bermuda. And I was on the line to my head trader there, and we were talking about the business. He said to me, I've got to go. He said, an aeroplane has just crashed into the World Trade Center. And I said, oh, Jesus, I'll go downstairs and look. And those two planes crashed into the World Trade Center. And since that day, we've been through two horrible wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Then after that was over, we went through the David Cameron austerity. Then after that was over, we went through the Brexit thing. And now we're in a situation where we've got the coronavirus. And none of us are getting a rest. And, you know, the media, and what I actually called in to say to you the other night was, you know, we've got a media now where, you know, all they talk about is racism and climate change. And we're all divided. And none of us are loving each other. And that's the big thing here now. You know, we've Brexited and...
well, not quite. Let me interject just for a second, if I might, Sean, because I actually thought that phone call was really interesting. And especially hearing now the angle that you think you came in at, from my perspective, it was a bit like Twitter. You know, when someone jumps in and you came in and you, if I remember rightly, you called Ian a lunatic and said that he was surprised he still had a job. And what I would suggest is that point you made just then, completely reasonable, and you would have got a completely different reaction. But I think sometimes you start the people, and I'm not saying you in particular, it happens on this show now and again, not often, because actually that thing you're talking about where the media is always whipping people up, we don't do on this show. We actually try not to do that at all.
Ian did do it to me the other night because...
Well, hang on a second. But if you'd have come in the way you came into me, you would have had a completely different experience. And do you know what? We don't need to go over the whys and the wherefores, because actually the way it turned out was the way it could have been all the way through.
But Ian didn't let me. And I'm quite worried about it actually, because Ian did to me the other night something which is classic narcissism. You know, he didn't let me speak. He projected onto me.
Are you going to start slagging my best friend off now?
No.
Please don't, Sean, because we were on such a good footing.
Let me tell you something right now. He's my best friend as well, because I really care about him.
No.
And if he's your best friend, I don't think he's right. And we can have another conversation about that. But what I'm
telling you what, have a conversation with him about that when he comes back.
I will do.
I'm not his carer.
What I phoned in about tonight is, you know, we are in a real mess in society at the moment. We just need to just love each other. You know, nobody needs to be divided over race. You know, nobody needs to be divided over sexism and all of that sort of stuff. You know, I live in Brighton, which is one of the most, as I'm sure you probably know, which is one of the most diverse cities in the world. We all walk around here, you know, there are blacks, there are gays, there are transvestites, we all get on, we all sit in cafes together, but we're all being kind of stretched like spaghetti and divided, and, you know, we're all being told to look at each other with untrusting eyes. And what you...
Yeah, but your reaction is on you, Sean. Whoever's saying that, and they're not saying that to me, your reaction is on you. So no, you can join in with that, or you can choose to not.
No, I'm fully joining in with it.
What, with the stretching?
No, with the togetherness.
Okay.
But, you know, I want everybody to be together. But, you know, you talk to gay guys, suddenly they'll find an insult. You speak to lesbian women, suddenly they'll find an insult.
How are you insulting them?
Huh?
How are you insulting them?
Just talking normally.
Well, maybe you should do more listening and less talking.
Well, no.
Because they'll tell you what's upsetting them if you listen.
Well, you're doing to me what they're doing to me.
What, trying to help you?
No, you're trying to niggle me.
Oh, I see. That's what it is it?
Well, it is. Why wouldn't you listen to me without, you know, saying what you're saying?
I am listening to you, probably more carefully than you realise.
And my biggest point the other night, my main point the other night, was that, you know, when I said about the blockbuster moment, which you all laughed about and everything, and I'm sure you've looked into that after.
No, we haven't.
Well, it's shame on you.
Oh,
shame
listen, Sean, we come on and have a conversation. Don't come and give us a lecture. I would really like to have a chat with you, and I'd like to have a chat with you about something that is not going to upset you, but I'm not going to let you...
I'm not upset at all.
Good, all right.
You're getting upset.
Oh, I'm not upset at all. I've been doing this for 20-odd years, Sean. I've had more conversations that have been more pressing than this.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Hi, Kath. Sorry, I was on the speaker and I had to put it onto
live. How very dare you?
Right. So I'm ringing to apologise.
Oh, don't.
I apologise to it. I sent a Sarky email, text to Twitter. To Ian, and I was really ashamed afterwards, and I did apologise to him by Twitter later in that morning, and he acknowledged it, I think.
Yeah, and don't feel ashamed about it, because you know what shame breeds.
Yeah, I know.
It's no good, but you caught yourself.
I was an entitled dick, I guess, wasn't I?
Well... It was a bit of a surprise, let's put it that way, Alistair, but you caught yourself in it, and as you probably just heard, some people never do.
I don't know, Sean was all right, and then he went mad all of a sudden.
He didn't want to have a conversation.
But yeah, I mean, I was doing everything just in that few words of that tweet because I was, you know, frustrated stupidly about, you know, not being on. But
yeah,
that's just been feeling entitled. And I know that, you know, it's not about that. It's about the whole show and you know, all of your listeners. It's not about me.
Well, sometimes it's about you. Sometimes it's about other people. But, you know, we just try and keep it bouncing along, Alistair. And I'm sorry if you felt slighted about it. What's been going on with you?
No.
You sound a bit down.
No, I'm kind of all right now. I mean, what was happening last week, to be honest with you, is I was, right, this is really bad. So any listeners who are, you know, don't do this. I found some old medication, right, that I wasn't actually taking. I'm not taking at the moment, but I knew these tablets would help me sleep, Kath.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking them. They're actually an antipsychotic.
Oh, blimey, Alistair.
And although I was trying to minimise how many I took, although it did get me to sleep, it was the wrong kind of sleep, and I got myself into a bit of a state with it, really, if I'm honest. And that's why I think I was a bit kind of, you know, emotional,
yeah,
would say. So I've stopped it now.
And what have you done with those pills?
They need to go in the bin, and they will.
Right.
And now...
Because you know this stuff's like whack-a-mole, if you're not careful.
Yes.
You sorted your drinking out, and then you start relying on something else.
That's it.
And we've experienced, it doesn't make you any better.
No. But anyway, and then, the horrible thing happened on Saturday.
Oh, right.
And then it kind of made me focus again on people who sent tweets, including me, unfortunately, that really are not very nice.
Mm.
And it took me back to, you know, the time when I sent Ian some horrible tweet.
But don't go back to that, because that's done, that's forgotten. And you know what? Maybe that had to happen to get us where we are now. And we're so, you know, we're thrilled to bits that you're back. And we're thrilled to bits that we can have the conversations that we have with you now. And that's all, you know, that's all gone in the past. But as I say, probably necessary to happen so you wake up to yourself and realise that it doesn't have to be like that. You're doing so well, Alistair.
Yeah.
Don't get dragged backwards by shame.
No. I mean, it's just that, you know, it just makes you think about, obviously, Caroline, unfortunately, felt with everything going on, and as you rightly said in the beginning, it must be a very complex situation with what she was going through, with everything happening. Obviously, anything said in tweets or Instagrams or anything like that are not helpful, especially if they're negative.
Mm.
So, you're absolutely right. We all need to look at ourselves, I think, about this sort of thing.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't mean being a pushover. It doesn't mean letting people ride roughshod over your feelings or anything like that, you know. But there's a way to handle yourself, you know. And this is the thing, you know. Be the person that you want to be online, and as if someone's watching you all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's out of respect for yourself. I don't want you feeling like this over a silly tweet.
No, well, I'm fine now.
Good.
You know, I just wanted to register that with yourselves.
Ah, well.
Kath, I mean, obviously in your position, I mean, do you mind me asking, because you must get some negative stuff thrown at you. How do you deal with it?
Not a lot. I don't get a lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't look on online forums because it feels a bit like eavesdropping on someone else's conversation, and their opinion of me has got probably very little to do with the truth, and there's nothing I can do about it. So what's the point in putting myself through that? I did it a couple of times once when I was younger, and it took quite a long time to get back from it. You know, you can't do this job. This job is so much about confidence and about being unguarded. And if you're continually trying to please people who don't like you, you can't be you. So, you know, it's like standing up in a classroom where you know the bullies that are at the back taking the mickey out of how you speak. You can't do it. So I just have to be in this little bubble and assume I'm talking to friends. And, you know, people don't like it, then that's fine. I'm not, you know, I'm not moving in with them. Nah. And also the lucky thing is that I work with my mate. And so if something particularly upsetting happens, I can send it to him and we laugh about it. And that's how we get around it. For the most part, some of it is hurtful. In the past, it's been hurtful, especially when times were hard. But people had no idea because we don't tend to air that stuff on air.
And you've got family around you.
I've got family around me. I've got my mum and dad around the corner, you know. And fortunately, I've been brought up in an environment where it was all right to speak up if I didn't feel like I was handling things. So
yeah, and you've got a lovely cat.
I've got a lovely cat, but she could not give a toss about me, so she's no help whatsoever. The only time she cares about me is if I'm holding the dreamies.
Well, I'm on, and then I'll go. You know, I'll have to ask, is the bathroom complete?
Oh, my God, the bathroom. We are into week four of a job that was supposed to take a week and a half.
What's wrong with them?
Right, he's doing an all right job, but he's so slow, and we've had so many... Honestly, the excuses, right? And he's a single dad, and we were warned from the start that he would need to be there to pick up the kids and stuff. And it's like, I get it. I completely get it. But we've had the kids being ill, him being ill, the electrician being ill, one of his mates having to go, you know, the builder's mates having to go for emergency dental work. Then this week, I said to my husband, all that's missing is his nan. Failing in some way. We got that one this weekend. She had a fall and he had to take his mum. And it got to the point where you're going, okay. And Ian says, I don't know why you've not called him out. What if he's just really the unluckiest man in the world? What if? And I can't be that person. I'm just not good at conflict.
You're a nice person.
But at the same time, I do feel a bit of a mug. And I've only just got a shower that can work and not everything's fixed and he's supposed to be coming back tomorrow to finish off. And there's no point bawling him out, is there? Because I don't want to be in the house with, well, either someone who walks out and leaves me with a bathroom unfinished or someone who's furious.
And the longer it goes on, the kind of longer you have to put up with it in a way, because...
I just want it done now.
You know, you can't sack him particularly because it's not worth that happening.
No, but let me tell you something. On Thursday, I discovered that my loved old banger, my moped, didn't work. My scooter didn't work.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's ancient. It's 20 years old, and I probably didn't rev it up enough during the winter to keep the battery going. Completely my fault, right? But I phoned this guy up who'd had a look at it for free for me. He was sort of joined up to the motorbike school that I was using. And they said, oh, take it round to Dean, he's brilliant. I did, and he had a look for me, and he had a look for nothing, but I had in my head, right, that's the fella if anything goes wrong with this, because I've had trouble in the past getting people to even look at it because it's so old.
Right.
Not only did that fella answer the phone, get back to me, tell me he'd see it and on what day, pick it up, do it for like 40 quid, sort it out for me, and bring it back to me the next day. I was so overjoyed, and I was thinking, why am I like, I was kissing this bloke backside. I thought it was wonderful, and I told him I thought it was brilliant. And you know what it is, Alistair? It's so rare these days to hire someone who does what they say they're going to do, and you don't have to chase them. I'm always chasing, and I hate it. I hate being the nag. I hate it. But he did it. And he did it with a smile, and he didn't do it as if it was a hassle.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So he's got a customer for life, and I will recommend him to the high heavens.
Yeah.
I mean, the bathroom guy, on the other hand, possibly not. I've got a roommate for life by the looks of it. I told him, if you stay any longer, you'll be moving in.
Yeah, I'll tell him that he'll have to like the cat. But, I got a mate from the AA group to come and do my security light because he's an electrician. And that's exactly the same. He did it, you know, in about a couple of weeks after I'd asked him, and it was about 50 quid, that was it.
Yeah. Isn't it thrilling when someone does it?
Yeah.
What I really want, right, this is what everyone needs in their life. A hairdresser that is brilliant and does what you ask, and also, if you don't know, can make recommendations at work, right? Everyone wants that person. A builder who you can call at the drop of a hat and who will do a fair job in a reasonable amount of time. Everyone wants that. A mechanic. I think those three people will see you right through life.
Absolutely. It may be a vet if you're lucky.
A vet, useful.
But thanks, Kath, and please send my love to Ian, and I'll be listening all week, as you know.
All right, you're a good one. Thanks very much, Alistair. You take care of yourself.
Thanks, Catherine.
Bye-bye. Let's speak to... We'll talk to Alan in just a second. Let's take a break first, shall we? This is Talk Radio. I'm Catherine Boyle. The phone number, as usual, 0344 499 1000.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Let's get this out of the way. Susan.
Hi, Catherine.
Now, hang on. Before you begin,
Yeah.
I know you wanted to give some advice for Alistair and Ewan.
Yeah.
Can we not?
Not advice. Just some sort of friendly points I'd like to make.
Okay.
You know, not really advice.
Okay, well, but go carefully, please.
Yeah, of course. Of course, don't I always?
Not always. Go on.
My feelings and thoughts are going out to Ewan at the moment because I can feel pain. And I'm just wondering if a friend told me that when you give up alcohol, it's possible to get... I couldn't always hear what Alistair was saying to you because my line was terrible at the time.
All right, well, Alistair did a really good job. So do you know what, Susan?
Yeah,
let's leave it, and especially if we're talking about... top tips for giving up alcohol.
It's only that because I had a problem once years ago, and apparently the doctor can give you something to help you while you come off it.
Yeah, that's
to
what
sort of calm you a little bit.
That's what Alistair said.
And I'm just thinking it might help you, and it just might help while he sort of gets things sorted out in his own way.
All right.
And also, his dad hasn't been very helpful at the moment.
Okay, let's leave that alone, because we've covered that. What's going on with your nose? You sound like you've got a terrible drip going on.
Yeah, I have. I've got, I think I'm getting a cold and that my sinuses are blocked up.
Sounds terribly blocked, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've got, my sinuses are going to play up, which isn't nice. But, I wasn't going to, play a doctor or nurse. Good. Not at all, but I just thought I couldn't hear properly. My line kept up. This line goes terrible at times, but I was just thinking that if Ewan had a nice friend he could talk to and actually help him through it, that might help.
We covered that one as well.
You know,
let's get off Ewan, because Ewan will be all right. Ewan's had some brilliant advice from Alistair. He knows what he's on about.
Brilliant. So I wish I could have heard, actually. My line kept going.
Well, listen again. It's brilliant. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I know. Alistair's brilliant.
So what did you ring for, Susan, my lovely?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think, I don't know what it's called, but I think there is something that the doctor can give you while you come off the juice, and it helps to calm you. That's all I was going to say.
All right.
That's all I was going to say.
Perfect. Go and have a steam. Go over a hot bowl with a towel on your head.
Because I'm just feeling pain for you, and that's all.
Well, you're a very sensitive woman.
Well, not really. I just you just want to help, don't you, if you can, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll go and sort my nose out, okay?
Please. Bye. Put some Vicks on your feet and put socks on. Now, they say that doesn't work. I know it does. I know it does. So, whack it on, the old soles of your feet, socks on, bed, boom. You'll be sorted by the morning. Well, maybe not, but it works. I don't know how it works. Unlike that thing that they've been doing on TikTok recently, have you seen this? One of the many challenges that are ridiculous and are never going to go anywhere, these kind of experiments that they do on TikTok, the website for young people, is dipping their gonads in soy sauce. Apparently you can taste it. Of course you can't. I haven't got gonads, but I'm pretty sure that that's not biologically possible. I might save someone a job there. Somewhere across the UK, someone was reaching for the soy sauce and went, all right, yeah, forget it, it's not going to happen. Hello, Peter.
Hello, you okay?
Yeah.
Yes, good evening.
All good, Peter.
You know the Michael Jackson, you know, when he was alive?
I remember.
Michael Jackson, and I can do a whole walk, moonwalk and that.
Oh, good.
I'm on Facebook doing it. And you know, you had my partner, Caitlin.
Oh, right. No, I didn't realise she was your partner.
Yeah, I'm a husband. You talk to.
Oh, she says you've been making loads of cups of tea all day.
Yeah, cup of tea, yeah. And I've, first time I met her, I made some breakfast in bed for her.
Ooh.
As her husband. Yes, I've been baking everything.
Beautiful.
I met her on the bus of going to Ely.
Did you?
And we met each other.
So tell me what happened. Was she already there? Did you go and sit next to her? How did your eyes meet across
a
crowded bus?
She asked me. And she asked me and kept following me around Ely. And that's how we met each other. And
romantic place, Ely.
Lovely. Yeah, and we just love each other. And, you know, we met each other. And we, how pretty she is.
Oh.
And she's a wonderful wife I ever met. And she's picked up her best, you know, where she's been through. I've been lovely, you know. She's a wonderful wife.
Oh.
She is a very nice wife for me.
How long have you been married, Peter?
We're only married May this year.
Oh.
May last year.
Right, so it's still very new.
Yeah, you know, we love her. And, you know, I really enjoy it. And make you laugh, I went on the haircut. I did my Michael Jackson. I got 8 quid knocked on my haircut. 8 pounds on my haircut.
Because you moonwalked?
Yeah. 8 pounds on my...
You didn't moonwalk while she was cutting it. Maybe she had to give you the money off.
After I said, my moonwalk was here. And I got, should have been 28 quid for the shame of the haircut, and got 8 quid knocked off it.
I'm going to have a look at your Facebook now, Peter, because this is now a moneymaker.
It's very good. It's very good. You know, your listeners who sit here, and they should all look at it. It's very good.
All right, what's your name on there?
I thought they'd Peter Evans, you know. On it, on the Facebook. But have a good evening. Enjoy your rest of the show.
Thank you very much. What a sweetheart. Thanks very much for ringing, Peter. Peter Evans. If I put Peter Evans moonwalk, will it come up? No. But... No. But I think we can all imagine what it might be like, Peter moonwalking, and imagine him moonwalking through a load of hair at the barbers. 03444991000. I mean... It's a strange way to get a discount on a haircut, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. Late Night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. It's a phone-in show. We'll take, like, phone calls. We'll argue. I don't know. Just listen and see what happens.
Late Night with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Come into my little castle. Let me show you something that you won't forget.
This one, isn't it? That's Cilla Black. Abyssinian Secret. I've been reading about it. Apparently this is the closest she got to a sort of psychedelic wig out kind of thing, and people weren't massively convinced by the seductive tones in it, but I think that's a belting record. 0344 499 1000. Yeah, I'm a bit obsessed with Cilla Black. I'm totally obsessed with Cilla Black. I think she's brilliant. 0344 499 1000. We can have a bit of chat. It's fate in a minute. But first of all, let's have a chat with Keith. Hey, Keith.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks. Thanks for ringing.
No, it's my pleasure. Anyway, you told me to ring, didn't you?
Oh, did I?
Yeah, just before the last break, you said, I'm waiting for you to call me.
Oh, Keith. You succumbed. Finally.
I did. Yes.
What did you want to say?
I was listening last night and I was too chicken to call in. But I was I'm about your choice of music and the country things, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. I think they're brilliant. And it's ones I like. There's an album called Trio.
Right.
And it's Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Linda Ronstadt.
I've got that. I picked it up in a charity shop.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, ages ago.
That's brilliant.
I don't think I've listened to it enough. But yeah, there are a couple of tracks on there that I listened to straight away, and I thought, God, this is good.
Yeah. And also, there's a... Oh, yeah. Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Right. Now, this is someone I've always meant to investigate and then forgotten about.
Yeah. And Lucinda Williams.
That's a new one on me. Who's Lucinda Williams? Tell me about her.
She's like an Americana, you know?
Yep.
Not proper country, but Americana. And she does a lot of angst songs, you know?
Wow.
And there's one called Go Back to Greenville.
Oh, that rings a bell.
It's about an abusive relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And she's very good. Just have a listen.
Let's have a look. I've got a picture of her. She's kind of...
She's sort of blondish, isn't
she? Yeah. She looks great, actually. I'll have a look at that. That sounds great.
Yeah. She is. And she did a duet with Mary Chapin Carpenter as well.
All right. Well, how's that? What's that one called?
Oh, I can't remember. It's about... When You Leave This World or something, I think.
Oh, my God. Right, let's have a look. Sweet Old World.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Right, well, maybe that's not one for now, but it's one that we'll investigate at a time when things are less heady.
Yeah, I found it after I lost my wife.
Right.
You know, and it's supposed to be about suicide, but it also gelled with me about losing my wife, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if your colleague told you I'm blind, but I've got... if you play medical poker with me, I'll win hands down.
Okay.
I'm diabetic, which caused me to lose my sight.
Right.
Although I am waiting for a cataract operation.
And how much will that restore?
Well, my left eye is completely shot. The retina's torn and it won't go back.
Right.
But the right one, if I can get that done, I should be able to see reasonably well. You know? So that I'm hoping for that. I've got the appointment in March.
Okay.
And also I've got my kidneys are shot and I'm on dialysis 3.
Oh, blimey, Keith.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? You know. And it takes me back to that guy who was on last night about prostate cancer.
Yeah. I didn't really know what to say to him about that because it felt like his feelings about it were very drastic. It was very all or nothing. But then again, who am I to cast aspersions? I don't know what the treatments are and I don't know what the possibility of a recovery is. I mean, in terms of recovery of your abilities, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, because of what I've got, I'm impotent.
Right.
I don't worry about saying it, you know. Luckily, it was after my wife died.
Right.
I would suggest to him, if he was that serious, get his sperm frozen.
Yeah, there's a point.
Get his sperm frozen. Sorry. Sorry, I'm old, but I've got an idiot brain. get his sperm frozen.
Yeah.
All right, have the treatment, then find somebody to spend his life with and get her impregnated that way.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of unsaid stuff in that conversation.
You seem to be, I've got this and I've got that. And nobody loves me and I'm ugly and nobody will talk to me. And women are horrible because they won't talk to me.
There was a little bit of that, wasn't there? There was a little bit of that and kind of assuming that everybody else is the same and the world is hostile.
Everybody, you know, just because I eat worms, that's what I'm saying.
yeah, but, you know, it's people.
Yeah.
Everyone sees the world through a slightly different set of glasses, don't they?
If I wanted to, I could just sit down and cry every day.
Yeah.
And then sort of curl up and die. But what the hell, I'm not going to do that. I mean, as long as I wake up in the morning and I'm alive, I'm happy.
You see that as a bonus?
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And three days a week on dialysis, 4 hours a time.
Yeah.
You've got to have a positive mental attitude.
Have you always, though, or is it something you've kind of had to talk yourself around to?
What, being a positive?
Being positive, and taking the small victories, like waking up in the morning.
I am disgustingly up for it. I've always been that sort of person. I've never ran with the pack. I've always been a lone wolf, you know? And I just enjoy it because I'm quite good, you know. I'm reasonably intelligent and I get on well with people. And I can, you know. And talking to, that guy with his hospital radio.
Yeah.
I used to do, pop quizzes on hospital radio.
Brilliant.
It was down in Southampton where I live. Uh-huh. And me and a friend of mine used to go down there with another couple of people. We were the core of it. And they used to put up people from banks and building societies and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to say we creamed them.
I'd expect nothing less, Keith. It feels like you've got such an extraordinary amount of enthusiasm for life, even though, you know, you've been dealt a bit of a cruddy hand at times.
Yeah, well, I didn't realise. I think I brought the diabetes on myself, because I said my wife died in 2013.
Yeah.
She had cancer, but it took her very quickly, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then I started, because I had to give up my job to look after her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I started working as a security guard, and I was working permanent nights. And, of course, when you're working permanent nights, you eat all the rubbish.
Oh, God, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Also, if you've got any tricks for when I get home at 2:30, what I need to do is to go straight to bed. Because if I sit down with a cup of tea, then there'll be a biscuit or there'll be something else. And it's no good for anyone. I also think that there was a study recently about night workers that it slows down your metabolism anyway.
Yes, I know. God, yeah. I don't know. Have you got any cocoa in the house?
Cocoa?
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Hey, Caitlin.
Hiya.
Your husband's a romantic old Hector, isn't he?
He is, and he's pretty gorgeous.
So you got married last year?
Yeah, that's right. And yes, we did meet on a bus.
Right.
No, I'm not a stalker, although I did stalk him a bit around Ely. So I just thought I'd find him and say, no, I'm not a stalker. No, the reason I'm calling is he mentioned his dancing and that it's on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I just sent it to you via Twitter, but I've never sent anything via Twitter, so I just put at Flipping Cat.
Right.
And hopefully you'll get it.
Let's have a look.
Because it is pretty good.
I can't see it yet. Hang on. What's your name, if I may?
Mine's Caitlin Davies.
All right. And it's...
Oh, it's at Lady Caitlin 1.
Okay. Caitlin with a...
With a C.
With a C, right. Lady.
Yep.
Caitlin. 1.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find you. No, I can't see you. I must have done it wrong. How are you spelling Caitlin? Is it with an I or with a Y?
It's with an I.
I've got you.
You got me.
I've got you. Hubby's dancing. Right. Here we go.
There you go.
Let me see.
Seems to be believed.
Oh, my God, you're not wrong. I'm just looking at the still. Okay, now for the people who are listening in black and white, we are. I'm looking at quite a picture. Right, the thumbnail. He's off. The thumbnail of it was him with a hat on, very slim man in all in black, except he's got a bit of white piping on what looks like a sort of slightly Western type shirt.
Yeah, it was.
And he's got his hat on, you know, in the Michael Jackson style, and he's grabbing his crotch. That's the freeze frame that they've chosen to flag this up as.
Funny.
Okay. Where's he dancing? It looks like
it was actually at a day centre for people with learning disabilities.
All right, yeah.
Because he's got a learning disability and he's 57.
Is he?
And he can dance like that.
He's in cracking shape.
And I just think he does amazing.
My goodness, he's been studying, hasn't he?
No, he watches them once and then he can do it.
Well, it's lovely. And do you know what's really nice about it? He's enjoying himself. He's having the time of his life there.
Oh, yeah, he's having a whale of a time.
It's so good.
His own little fan group now. You know.
And also, he got money off at the barber's, which is beautiful.
He did. I was really shocked when he came home and told me that, and I couldn't help but laugh.
So tell me the bus story, right? So you get on the bus...
Okay, so I was talking to one of his friends.
Right.
Who also had a disability. We got on the bus. She she asked if I'd sit with her, so I sat with her. She said, my friend is getting on the bus at the next stop. So sure enough, said friend gets on the bus. Now, my husband is really famous in Newmarket, where we live, because he was the trolley bloke for 30 years.
Ah, right, I got you.
So, he is known in Newmarket as Trolley Peter, okay? I'm Trolley Peter's wife.
You're Mrs. Trolley Peter.
I am. Proud of it, too. So I knew him from his job.
Right.
So he got on the bus. We were chatting. We got to Ely. I said, well, let me buy you and your friend lunch. It'd be lovely to me. And I'm on my own. And so we went and had lunch in Sainsbury's of all places.
Luxurious, I like it.
Yeah. And then we did our own thing, you know, split up, do our own errands.
Yeah.
As I was coming home, him and his friend were waiting for the same bus back.
Uh-huh.
So I sat with them on the way home. When we got to Newmarket, I got off two stops early to get off the same bus as them.
Oh.
And he was sitting on the wall outside Marks and Spencer's because his friend had just gone in. And I literally went up to him. I said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I really like you. Would you like to come out on a day trip someday in the summer as a friend? And he just said, I've liked you for years. I thought you were beautiful for years.
Oh.
And that was it.
Beautiful. So where did you go?
Our first date was to Ely Farmers Market. We went back to Ely and we got married last year.
Oh, Caitlin, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a really romantic story. I mean, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of mix-up with phone calls and, you know, missing people. And, oh, it's really funny.
Oh, but you've met the right person. You met the one.
Yeah. I've never asked a guy out in my life.
So what made you think this was, all, you know, this was the time to be brave?
I don't know. He's just the most incredible man on the planet. He is so loving, so caring, just such a beautiful man. And we've been through a lot together because society doesn't see Peter for who he is.
Mm.
They see his disability. They don't see the amazing man who can dance Michael Jackson. He can make everybody laugh. He's great at wind-ups. You know, he's just incredible.
And he makes a wonderful cup of tea by the sound of things.
Oh, he really does. The best tea in the world. You know, his tea has gone over to Europe. I think that's why they didn't want us to leave. No, he makes tea when we go to France on holiday.
Oh.
And I think that's the whole reason that the EU were playing hardball was to keep Peter's tea once a year.
Not surprising. Sip never forgotten.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I'm so happy for you both. That's such a beautiful story, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Oh.
And I'm glad you got to see the dancing, because I thought, you have to see it.
That dancing is incredible. That dancing is incredible. I'd give him money off a haircut as well.
I know, he's fab.
I'm so happy for you. You're lovely. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your story.
That's okay.
Go and give him a big squeeze. Not that you need much encouragement. 0344 499 1000. Oh, that gave me the warm and fuzzies. I don't know about you.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello. How are you keeping?
Not really good. I kind of wanted to ask you a question, if that's all right. Like, tell you a story behind it and see what your view is on it.
Go on.
Basically, because I'm a part of the LGBT community, I class as gay. I've got a friend who we go to events, because I'm going to put it bluntly, I'm a kinky guy, if you see what I mean.
All right, so we're talking events.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much I can say on here or not, I don't know.
Go on, say it.
Kind of like bondage and stuff.
All right, bondage and stuff's fine after 10 p.m, I think.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I didn't know how much I could say, but stuff like that.
All right.
And basically, my friend had a bad past. Basically, he was an ex-sex offender. He was put on the list.
Oh, blimey. And
basically, I find it a bit unfair. Basically, the police were pretending to be 14-year-old online. He did say stuff. But I'm not... I don't know how to put it, like, do you see what I mean? Like, he's never met them, but because what he said online, it got him into trouble. Do you see what I mean? Like,
yeah, okay.
I'm not on his side. And basically, anyway...
the thing is, it could have been a 14-year-old. He didn't know that, did he?
No. Like I said, I'm not on his side, but at the same time, I know people can change, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
And basically, someone's dug up his past and admitted it to all these events, and now I feel a bit bad for him because they're judging him, if you see what I mean, from his past.
Right.
And I just wanted to ask, and maybe people listening could say their bit as well, do you think people can change? Because he seemed like a nice guy. He's told me, he opened up to me, and yeah, I agreed with him, he can change, and there's been no warning signs since, you see what I mean, like.
Yeah. How long ago was it that it happened?
While he was younger, because it's like in his 50s, 60s now.
Right.
Like, and so it was when he was younger, do you see what I mean?
How much younger, though?
I think it was at least, like, 6 years, if not more.
Yeah.
Like, if it was recent, I could understand why people were judging him. Do you see what I mean? Like, if it was, like, a year ago.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I do know what you mean. So what happened with this case? Did he get prosecuted and put away?
Basically, he got rehabilitated. I can't pronounce it properly.
Yeah, rehabilitated. So,
yeah, and basically they said with his new life, you should live in harmony and everything, but whoever's leaked it is basically wrecking it.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But he's...
Sorry, Kai,
you carry on.
Like, I know people are going to judge, but it shouldn't really affect him going to events, you see what I mean? Like I said, it was the past.
This is an event for adults, right?
It is 18 plus, but basically what I've, because people run it, of course, I spoke to the people who run it, and they said that, because I think there must be people with special needs, I assume, who go. Because I have autism as well, so I can understand.
Right.
And they're saying it's their kind of their responsibility. Do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean. I think that for people, once they know that this information is out there, they'll be thinking about his welfare as well as everybody else's. Because you don't want him getting beaten up because he goes to one of these parties, do you?
Yeah, and I'm kind of annoyed because he's saying I don't think we can be friends anymore because it's going to be out there and it's going to spread around. He's just basically thinking about my...
Your reputation.
Safety. Yeah. Because, like I said, people can judge and... I don't know, I just find it unfair. Like I said, it's past and he hasn't done anything since.
Well, your relationship with him is down to you. How old are you, Kai?
I'm 18. And, like, he's good friends because, like, if I'm honest, I've been depressed. I still am. But he's understood me and he's fought my corner because... sometimes at these events, they say they're inclusive, but they're not, because, like, do you see what I mean? Like, sometimes people with autism need a bit more.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? Like, I don't know how to put it.
Yeah, so that, that you need to, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. People with autism will have sort of needs that other people might not think twice about, in terms of knowing what's going to happen, feeling in control of the situation, not having any, I guess, too many surprises.
Yeah, and because sometimes I'm not good socially, they don't keep that in mind, and my friend fought for me for that, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Do you think that you would be capable of going on your own?
I think I will, just because there's group chats to do with the events as well. There's one person who specifically bullies me, and that's why he fights my corner, because they say they're inclusive, and because he doesn't specifically attack you and call you names, he gets away with it, do you see what I mean? It's on the borderline of, like, attacking, if you see what I mean.
All in all, Kai, it sounds like it's not the best environment for you anymore.
That's just the group chat. When I actually go, it's all right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but...
Do you have to be involved in the group chat, Kai?
yeah, I'm like, my friend fights on my side, and it's literally just that one person.
Hmm.
So I sometimes lose my temper, but the admins don't really do anything. So yeah, it's just like one of them things, and I don't really want to miss out just because of one person. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean. I can kind of see why people don't want to, I can see why people have got a problem with your friend. And fair or unfair, once people get that information, it's hard to forget. I kind of feel for him as well, because he's done his time and he's not hanging around out, you know, with kids. And what's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
It's a really tricky one. Your relationship with him is your own business. So whether you want to stay friends with him is your business. And I get the feeling that no one's going to be able to tell you how to behave around him anyway.
Like, I don't know, like I said, I kind of want to be friends with him, but he's saying he doesn't because of my, in case I get in risk of whatever, because, you know, like I said, people judge.
Association.
Yeah, association.
Oh, man. It's a really tricky one, Kai. Have you got any other friends that go there?
Yeah, but they don't really understand me, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I'm quite a loner. That's a way of, yeah.
And do you think it would be fair to say that, you know, part of the autism means that you're used to going with him now, so it would be tricky for you to change your habit?
It's not just that as well. It's just, like, he understood me the most, because, like, most of my life, I believe, well, people never really understood me because of my autism, etc. So, and he has it himself, but he's more mature, if you see what I mean. He's older, so he understands it more.
Mm.
So they say, yeah, like, I have been to events by myself, but at the same time, the bond, yeah.
I know what you mean. All right. It's not an easy one, this, Kai. It's not an easy one at all, because I can see all sides of it.
Yeah, and he was, like I said when I called in yesterday, you know, how I was 12 days sober.
Yeah.
He helped me with that as well.
Yeah.
So I used to drink to forget about my troubles, and then, yeah, it caused more trouble.
Yeah, I know. But the other thing is that obviously he's been made to feel uncomfortable about going to this place now. That's probably why he doesn't want to go.
Yeah. And it's just annoying, like I said, because now the people for that event knows everyone else for the other events, so they're, like, telling them.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Have you, how much can you talk to, I mean, it sounds like you've got quite a close relationship. You've told him all this, I take it?
Yeah, majority. He's just out and about at the moment. He's driving, so of course he can't text. He said he'll ring me back when he's back home.
Oh, right. So this is just tonight that you've had this bombshell, that he won't be...
Well, yesterday. It started yesterday, and it's still carrying on today.
All right. Well, here's the thing.
I feel really sorry for him, so he's getting me down as well.
Well, don't, because this is the thing, right? If you want to help someone else, you can't go under. So make sure you look after yourself, because whatever happens, you've got to be able to carry on.
Yeah.
And in order to help him, you've got to stay, you know, keep your head in the game.
Yeah, I did tell him, like, I know I've got my own problems and I know you helped me with that, but I'm going to try and be there as best for you as I can.
Yeah. Do you know what I would do? I would give it a bit of space. Let him have his moment. Let him calm down, because it's obviously very emotional at the moment. And he's had a shock that now everybody knows, and he's having to rethink everything. Let things calm down, and you may find that that it's not quite as drastic as it seems.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me chat about it.
That's all right, Kai. Thanks for talking to me about it. I'm sorry that I can't come up with an easy fix-all, but
I kind
of get it. It's human nature. When people find out about stuff like that, of course they get defensive.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if he's done his time and he's not going anywhere near kids, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Let things calm down a bit, Kai, and I think you're doing the right thing by just saying that you're there and that you're not going anywhere. Let him come round himself.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, no problem. Nice to speak to you. Thanks very much, Kai. 0344 499 1000. I mean, anyone who's got any insight into that, I don't know, I just What can you say? 0344 499 1000. If you want to give me a ring, or you can text me on 87222 and you start your text with the word talk. That'll cost you 25p plus your standard network charge. The alternative is your tweet at Talk Radio or your tweet at Flipping Cass. I'll get both of those messages. You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm Catherine Boyle.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
That call, though. See, now I'm thinking about the age difference between the friends. 18. 60. I don't know, Kai. I don't know. 0344 499 1000. Thanks for all your messages that are coming through. I really appreciate that. If anyone has got any insight into that, give me a shout. And Kai did say that he wanted to know what other people thought about it, and I'd really appreciate it. Obviously, it's something that sort of caught me on the hop a bit. Getting messages through about Kai's call. This one from Jay. Kai, he says, don't trust him. My cousin was sent down for 4 years and put on the CPR for 14 years. He had a week left of the 14 years and he was caught again downloading child porn. They never change. I mean, there you go. That's one person's opinion, Kai, if you're listening. I don't know, you know, that call. If you want to send me a message, 87222, and start your text with the word talk. I could do with a hand on this one, I think. Text will cost 25p plus your standard network charge. You know, I remember talking to a guy called Ray Wire, who used to run a rehabilitation project in Milton Keynes for people who'd been caught contacting children or downloading child abuse images, or actually who abused children, physically, sexually abused children. And it was in his mind that you couldn't rehabilitate someone like that. But then, what is the answer? We were talking about this with Angelo Clary last week. Do you remember? His daughter is one of the women at the centre of the R. Kelly allegations. And he was talking about this project he set up called Team Truth. And he feels like the problem was, especially with the Afro-American community, is that for years and years they've been allowed to just sort of sort out child abusers within the community. There was a story, and I don't know if you saw Surviving R. Kelly Part 2, but Robert Kelly alleges that he and his brothers say that he was abused by someone when he was a kid, and that, you know, in some way it's mitigation for the way he's been accused of behaving since. And they talked about how when the community found out what had happened, the police arrived, and then they turned their backs while the men in the community beat him up. And that was kind of the end of the story. So this guy goes underground, you never hear from him again. But also, he doesn't get any rehab, he doesn't get sorted out. The problem doesn't get addressed. The kids don't get any kind of therapy because no one talks about it again. It's like it's sorted. Except it's not, is it? And not everybody that is abused as a child goes on to be an abuser, but there are some statistics that suggest that some people do. So obviously leaving it alone is not the answer. So Angelo Clary is talking about not only sort of breaking the silence because, you know, the victims need help and they need to know that what happened is not their fault and the shame they're carrying is not theirs. And in order to address that and to stop the cycle continuing and people leading, if, you know, if they don't become abusers, they're certainly messed up around sex and relationships. That's the danger. In order to stop that cycle, he believes you've got to talk about it. And God, this program, this show that we do here, I think we hear this story coming up, different names, different places, but we hear this story coming up time and time again, don't we? People that are carrying shame around that is not theirs and turning it on themselves. But the thing is as well, if people have these tendencies, if people feel like they have an attraction to kids and they're not doing anything about it and they don't want to do anything about it, if they're asking for help, wouldn't it be irresponsible not to offer them as much help as possible? And in order for that to happen, you need to have hope, don't you, that something can be done. It's a really, really complicated thing. And I know it's something that most of us don't like thinking about. But I think for the sake of our kids and for the sake of the kids, the broken kids that have turned into broken adults, it needs to be thought about a lot more. 0344 499 1000.
Another message here. 6 years is not very long. I don't believe these people can be rehabilitated. He's still doing it now, I'd say, by involving himself with this 18-year-old. This young boy needs other friends. It's true what you just said too. They never change. Well, it wasn't me that said it. It was someone talking about his family member. But, you know, I've spoken to quote-unquote experts, people who work with offenders, and the feeling was that rehabilitation is impossible. 03444991000. I know this is a heavy subject. We can talk about this. We can talk about something completely different. It's completely up to you. But I would really like to hear some voices on this. No better than I do. I really would. 03444991000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Now, that call we had at the beginning of the show has got all of us thinking, and I don't know whether I handled it brilliantly, but I gave my kind of honest response, which is why I'm really hoping that you might help me unpick some of this stuff. 03444991000. So the situation is that Kai is a young gay man. He's 18. He's been going to sex parties with a friend, an older friend, and it's now been revealed to Kai and to everyone else in that particular group that his friend's got a conviction for talking to kids online. Let's put it mildly. In this case, he was talking to an undercover police officer and he got busted. But of course, now everyone's talking about it and he's feeling like he's not welcome at these parties anymore. He doesn't want to go without his friend. His friend is in his 60s. Apparently, he's not reoffended. It was 6 years ago. He's not going anywhere near kids now, apparently. But a lot of you are very uncomfortable about that age difference. 03444991000. Hi, Max.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
Okay, just following up on the call from Kyle. I mean, I don't know what's right or wrong, but I've got two observations. The first is that the ages of 18 and 14 tend to show that there's a very, very strong preference for younger guys, which is fine.
But well, 14's not fine.
Well, it depends where you are in the world, because in some countries, of course, the age of consent is 14.
Yeah, and in some countries, men marry 7-year-old girls. That's not right either, is it? In this country, it's not right.
Well, what I'm saying is, I'm not able to judge that. However,
wow.
But I'm not, because you know. It, well, anyway.
Well, there's a power imbalance. Surely you can see that.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that the first thing is that obviously the preference is still there. The second observation that I make is the reason why people don't think that or people aren't rehabilitated in inverted commas in terms of that type of thing. Is that because the strong preferences, because of just strong preferences, they will always be there. And, you know, for instance, I've got a preference for blondes. I always have had, and I always will do. Most things that keep our preferences in check are sort of social conventions. In other words, what is right or wrong, what is acceptable in this country or Pakistan or age of consent, etc. And once people break those social conventions, they tend not to come. They tend to stay there forever. For instance, sexual crimes, if I can put that in inverted commas once again, sexual crimes are probably the only crimes where, if somebody was overnight made a millionaire, those crimes would increase, not decrease. Now, most crimes, if you gave somebody £1 million, would disappear overnight. You know, there'd be no more shoplifting and breaking and entering, etc. But with that type of things, people's preferences would actually be allowed to carry on. That's why they don't go away. Social conventions keep them in place, and once those social conventions are broken, they tend not to go away. Does that make some sense?
I know what you mean.
What age did he meet him at?
Yeah.
Because he says he's 18 now, and if you met him when he was 17, 16, and they got up to anything then he has reoffended again. But I don't think he should be with him at all. But I think the more that you tell somebody not to be with somebody, the more they're going to want to be with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the thing that's bothering me. I mean, if I was 60, 6 years ago, how old is Kai's 18 now?
Well,
he just turned 18. How long has he been with him?
Also, listen, I'm 42. I wouldn't be hanging out with an 18-year-old out of preference, not socially. What have we got in common? Well, I know what they've got in common, but, you know, it's... It's shady, isn't it?
Yeah, very shady. And I would suggest that the guy probably has reoffended.
But then what is the motivation for someone to go through rehab, okay? So, and there are some people who offer themselves up for rehab because they know that they've got this tendency and they don't want to act on it. What if everyone's always going to be suspicious of them, what is the motive? What's the motivation to go and get yourself sorted out?
Well, he hasn't got any motive, has he? Because he's obviously, he's now with an 18-year-old, which is just legal in the eyes of the law. Morally, it's not.
But then you get, you know, you pick up a copy of any of the tabloids and every other week you'll get a picture of an 18-year-old girl who's married a 6-year-old man.
Yes, you will.
Is it different because they're men?
Like the last caller said about having money, and then you'll get the things like, it was the guy who hung himself, got killed in prison in Inverness.
Yeah. I know. It's a really dodgy one, isn't it? And I'm trying to be fair to people, and I try to believe that I try to believe that there is always hope. But at the same time, I've got to be honest, if Kai was my family member, I'd be telling him to steer clear.
Yeah, that's all you can do, hopefully.
Is that my terrible prejudice, though?
No, it's not. I mean, the guy has offended in the past, and it looks like he's offending again. To me, I believe, just from listening to Kai there, that they've known each other for a while, and I'll say probably since at least he was 17.
Kai, if you're listening, do feel free to give us a ring, because we don't want to be going...
Phone back in, because I'd be interested to know when you met him and how long you've known this guy. Yeah. If you've only known him for a short number of months, then he could be telling you anything just to fulfil some other weird fantasies that he's got going on, and dragging you along with it. And you've got to realise, at the end of the day, is he might actually take you down with him this time. And then you're 18... You've got the rest of your life with that label then, Carl.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Phil. I appreciate your words there. 0344 499 1000. Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just calling. I agree with everything the last caller has said. And I just was also, when I listened to the call, I felt just really sad.
Yeah.
I sound really... To me, he sounds like a vulnerable young adult, and I think that his friend just seems to have taken advantage of that, created a bit more of a feeling of isolation for Kai. He just seems like, you know, he's created a situation where he's the only one in support of him, he's the only one who understands him, and actually, that's probably not true. There are lots of people that feel like Kai and would understand how he's feeling.
Yeah.
I just thought the imbalance of power seems to be present.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm taking advantage.
And that's the thing, isn't it, when we're talking about these situations, it is about power balance. I think Kai's ringing back, so I'm going to have a quick word with him in a second. But, it's tricky, isn't it?
Sorry.
Go on, Rebecca, I can't hear you very well. Is there any way you could give us a call back when you're not driving?
Yeah, sure.
All right, it'd be just so much easier to be able to hear you. Thanks very much, Rebecca. Kai is back on the phone. Hey, Kai.
Hello, Catherine.
Hey.
I just wanted to clear a few things up.
Good.
I've known him since I was 18, under.
Okay.
Basically, back to this kink thing, the people are going to think it's weird, but have you ever heard of a thing called put play before?
Yes, I have heard of put play, right? So you dress up as dogs.
That's how I met him through that.
Right, okay. Now, can I ask if I ask a question you don't want to answer, it's the usual rules, like with Ian, you can tell me to jog on, Kai. But have you been in a sexual situation with this guy?
Yeah, I have. Okay. Sorry, I'm not sure if you can hear the background. I'll switch off quickly, sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I just want to make sure that we get this clear. And I hope you don't mind us all talking about this. It's just, it's such a tricky one. And you asked me for advice and I just, you caught me on the hop a little bit. And I want to do right by you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what are you minded to do at the moment?
What do you mean, sorry, like?
So you obviously want to carry on the way things have been.
Yeah.
Does anything that people are saying online at the moment ring true with you?
Because I've been listening after I rang. Do you mean like them, sorry?
Yeah, they're worried that he's maybe manipulating you.
No, it's all been consensual with me.
Yeah.
Like, if there's something I didn't like, I would say and he would stop.
Sure.
Do you see what I mean? Like.
Sure. And you don't feel like he's much older than you. You don't feel it's a bit odd, a 60-year-old man being interested in an 18-year-old, especially given this history now of trying to contact a 14-year-old. I mean, in the event he was an undercover police officer, but it could have been a 14-year-old.
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm just confused about.
Cause yeah.
If I'm honest, he told me a while back about it, and if I'm honest, I forgot about it till all this was brought up, because he has changed. Do you see what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
It's literally been in the back of my mind. Do you see what I mean? Like.
Yeah, I do.
Like, he's nice. He has changed, and alarm bells rang, I would tell someone, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's been any hint that he has been doing it again.
Yeah.
I would tell someone, do you see what I mean? Like, but from my view, that hasn't been.
You don't see that you're very young for him?
I don't know, he's been there more, I don't know, in the gay community, you kind of, I don't know how to put it, like, it's very sex-orientated in the gay community, especially as a young person like me.
Right.
Well, any age, to be honest, not just young. Like, he has been there for me, and it's very rare we have sex, if I'm honest.
Right.
Yeah, it's very rare we have that.
It's more of a sort of companionship thing and him keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, with the pup stuff, you kind of, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I just explain it to people who are listening who might not know what the fuck stuff is?
Of course you can.
That's all right.
Of course you can.
Basically, it's like a kink thing. It's for straight people as well, not just gay. And basically, one pretends to be a dog. You can get dog hoods and harnesses and stuff like that. And the other is like a handler where they leash you and look after you. This guy who was on about is my alpha, so he gives me advice. I don't have to listen if I don't want to.
Right.
And he's helped me with stuff like that, like, with my drinking, for example. I've been 13 days sober now.
Right.
And, like, all my life, there's no one who understood me, but he has, because he has autism himself.
Right, okay.
So he can relate to how I'm feeling, do you see what I mean, like?
Yeah.
And he's been in the LGBT community much longer than me, so he knows the struggle.
Right.
There's loads of different struggles. Like, there was a recently a news article, hopefully I can say, on BBC, I hope that's all right saying.
Of course it is, it's fine, yeah.
And, like, one of the struggles is having to look a certain way. Like, for me, I'm skinny. If I'm honest, I kind of feel pressured to be muscly, because that's the gay look, if you see what I mean, like.
Mm.
And he's kind of helped me to, he's kind of, because he's been in it so long, he's kind of helped me to say, like, no, you don't have to look like that, you should be comfortable in your own body.
Okay.
Yeah, so it has helped me.
I'm just wondering how much your autism affects your everyday life. I mean, do you have a job? Have you got a lot of other friends, or?
I'm a loner, if I'm honest, so yeah, it's helped me.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you work?
No, I'm at college.
Oh, right, you're at college.
So I kind of just keep to myself there, because I don't really.
And what's.
Yeah, you know, people use gay slurs and stuff like that there, and the teachers don't really say anything, so I just keep to myself.
Wow, okay. Okay.
But that's a different matter, but yeah.
And what's the plan for you? What do you want to do with the rest of your life?
I want to be a... well, in my spare time, I do radio presenting. Mm-hmm. I want to be a... I do it voluntarily, but I'm hoping to get onto a big station soon.
Yeah. And what are you studying, if you don't mind me asking?
Photography. Funny enough, there's not really a radio specific course. No,
it doesn't matter.
I like photography.
You look at
in my spare time.
Yeah, you look at the people that I work with. Very few of them actually got trained as a radio presenter. It's all about being an interesting person, and obviously having a different interest is always helpful.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get my DJing out there, and then once I'm a bit more well known, build a package. So like, for this much, you can get DJing and photography, or you could just pick one and another.
Oh, that's good. DJing. Yeah, you can get the whole monopoly on it.
Yeah.
Let me be honest with you, Kai, and I don't know if you've heard what I've been saying, is I get that this is a really special relationship to you, but I'm a bit concerned that the power isn't equal.
No, I think it is, personally. Like I said, if something wasn't right, I'd let him know and he would stop.
Okay.
Do you see where I'm coming from at the same time?
I do.
Like, he always says it.
But he's worried that you're going to get tarnished, isn't he?
Yeah, he said he's trying to change people's views, but it's not over yet. It could change people's views still, but it's a bit early, you know, because it's only started yesterday. Do you see what I mean?
All right.
Your people's view could... Do you see what I mean? Like, you could go next to the next person, and then... Do you see what I mean? Like,
all right.
Get out of control, but...
Here's what I think.
Know at the moment.
Here's what I think. Keep talking to me, you know, keep ringing us. If there's anything that worries you, ring us up and we can talk about it. You know, you can be honest with us and we won't judge you.
Yeah, thank you. It has been, like I said, I haven't really listened much, but now it's nice to speak to someone, like you said, to another caller.
Yeah.
A distant.
We might get some other people ringing in with their views, and if they, you know, if they're saying anything that rings a bell for you, feel free to ring. I don't want to be talking about you and you feel you can't join in. You know, this is...
Yeah, thank you.
I think this is about people wanting to look out for you, Kai.
But what did you say, sorry?
Sorry, I think this is about people wanting to look out for you. So what did you say? Sorry, I was talking over you.
It's kind of nice to hear other people's views.
All right.
Well, I'm not going to lie, I don't agree with them all, but it's nice to hear it from another perspective.
And the thing is, you won't agree with them all, but it's just ideas to... You know, while you're in this situation where it feels like your head is spinning, it's just maybe a different way of looking at things.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the number to call tonight. I'm Catherine Boyle. Normally I'm here with Ian Lee. Today I am flying solo, same tomorrow, and then we're back to abnormal on Monday when he's had his week off. Anyway, so that's the situation there. Let's go back to the phones, and Andy's there waiting for me. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Cass. How you doing? You all right?
I'm all right, thank you. It's a tricky one tonight, isn't it?
Well, we'll speak to you again.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
It's very tricky. It's very tricky. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in pretty much the same situation as Kai.
Right.
So I just thought I'd call up and just offer my advice to him if I can.
Well, that would be really handy.
Would that be okay?
Yeah, go on.
Basically, I'll set a little bit of background if that's okay. I was in a relationship, very brief one, with a guy who told me that he'd been downloading images.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be very careful how I say this. I'd had his laptop and phone confiscated. He'd told me that they were in for repair. It turned out that they'd actually been confiscated by the police, and the images that he'd got were over 30,000 in volume. So you can imagine, you know, it comes as quite a shock when you find this out.
Yeah.
Secondly, I didn't know what to do. I'd not been in that situation before. And you do think to yourself, when you're a gay man, I now identify as pansexual, but when you're a gay man, you think, okay, my chances of meeting someone, especially in a place where there's no scene, are very rare, very limited. So do I stay in this situation or risk being single for the rest of my life?
Mm.
And I guess to an extent that's the same in every community, whether it be LGBT+ or straight.
Well, and also where feelings are involved and you know the individual, you're not just talking about... Because to everyone else, this is an abstract case, okay? This is an older man, younger man. This thing happened with what could have been a 14-year-old turned out to be a copper. And you just think about, right, well, that's quite obvious, isn't it? The difference is when you've been in a relationship with someone, when you know them, you know, this is the person that you think the world of, and then all of a sudden there's this. It's not quite as cut and dry when you're in it, is it?
The relationship that I built up with the person, and I'm being very careful not to mention them because that wouldn't be fair on them, mention them by name.
Yeah.
It was built on trust, just as I think any intimate relationship is. Now, when you build up trust in someone, as you know, when you find out something that shocks you, a secret, whatever it may be, you begin to think, well, what else is it that I don't know?
Yeah.
So I don't know for certain that the person who I was in the relationship with was on chat rooms, but maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. And ultimately what Ty does is up to him. But I'll give you the advice that I was given, and you can probably see from this and tell from this why I had to end the relationship immediately. And that's, if there is any possibility in the future that this person reoffends, if they reoffend using any of Kai's equipment, maybe a mobile phone, a laptop, even an IP address from his house, then in the eyes of the law, he's liable for what's happened.
Right.
So Kai would be seen, as my understanding was, as I was told, he would be seen as just as responsible as the person who's committed the crime. Because saying, it wasn't me, is no defence in law.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a possibility, a distinct possibility here, that if Kai left his laptop unlocked, his mobile phone unlocked, and anybody, whether it be this guy or whoever, were to use it for illicit purposes, he could find himself responsible and potentially in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, it could affect his career. It could affect his whole future. And Kai, my heart goes out to you, because I've been there, fella. I know what it's like, and it's horrible. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But do what you have to do, but think very carefully about it. And as difficult as it is, try to put some brain process into there, as well as heart process.
Yeah.
Does that help at all?
I think that's really interesting. How long did it take, Andy, before the revelation turned into action on your part?
It was the next day.
Right.
Because I knew I had to. The longer you leave it, the more the feelings will build up, whether they be of anxiety, whether they be of passion, whatever those feelings are, they will build over time. So I got in touch. The thing was as well, before the person I was seeing told me what he was going to tell me, what he told me, he said to me, I've got something to tell you. I need you to stand by me.
Oh, hang on a minute. You can't make that decision for you.
Exactly. But because I was in love with him, I said, yeah, whatever it is, we'll work for it together.
Yeah. Not imagining for a second it would be this.
Exactly. Thinking, you know, he's probably seen someone else on the side. He's having an open relationship, you know. I don't know, maybe he's got a court date coming up for a speeding offence or a parking ticket or something, you know what I mean? And then when they drop this, and I'm very much, if I make a promise to somebody, I will do everything I can to keep it.
Yeah, you're a very loyal person.
Yeah, I try to be, you know. I try to be because I would hope that people would be the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a difficult situation to be in. But you've got to think about the rest of your life, Kai. You've got to think about... And I've been to fetish parties. I've been to sex clubs. I've lived very much the life that you described. I'm considerably older, but I've very much had those experiences. And what I'm saying is, you do what you have to do, but don't risk the rest of your life going wrong.
Well, here's another factor. If he's talking about wanting to be a DJ stroke photographer, so covering events and stuff, if you end up with some sort of record as a result of something someone else does on your computer, for example, or your mobile phone, that's that dream shot, because you will not be allowed anywhere near kids.
I'm imagining that most careers in showbiz, whatever, you've got to have some kind of, I think it's still called DBS check.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, once you fail a DBS, I mean, this person that I was seeing was a security guard.
Right.
And he knew that as soon as his latest DBS was up, he was in trouble, you know?
I'd be really interested, and without, obviously, telling this other guy's story, because that's his story to tell.
Yeah, so I'm being very careful.
Yeah, and we're not naming him or anything like that, or giving any locations. But did you feel like he saw himself as a victim rather than being someone who'd done something that he regretted and was trying to move on?
I do. He actually said to me at one point, he said, I'm an addict, and I'm addicted to downloading these images and to this. And you had an earlier caller who said, well, in Spain, the legal age is this and it's that.
Yeah.
He said the same thing to me, and that's not to cast assertions at all on the earlier caller, but it's no defence.
No.
You know, there is no defence against it.
For me, it feels like what this is about is the power imbalance. If someone is not able to understand the relationship you want to have with them, then it's inappropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can take that one step further, regardless of the, you know, the child discussions, the child pornography, you know, whatever it is, any relationship that is a power imbalance is not a healthy relationship.
No.
I know that from my previous experience. I've been in lots of relationships where there's been a power imbalance, and I've been the one who, if you like, for lack of a better term, has been the less powerful one.
Right.
And I know how badly it messes people up, because I've been through an awful lot as a result of that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I'm so glad I have, because I'm a better, healthier, wiser person for having done that.
Yeah.
But Kai is 18 years old, you know? I don't want to say that when you're young you don't know your own mind. You do. I don't believe that age comes into it. But don't do something now that you're going to live to regret when you're 88.
Thanks, Andy. That's really helpful.
Thanks.
Really helpful. Thank you. It does make sense.
And Kath, you're doing a great job this week, so keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Catherine.
Hiya. How are you?
All right, surviving.
Like us all, that's all we can ask for.
Two things, one to do with Kai.
Yes.
Right, I've just looked it up and checked a few things. There's an organisation called Switchboard.
Uh-huh.
So if he looks up on Google, Switchboard Advice Line,
yeah,
he'll find the phone number there. It's a proper advice line to do with the LGBT etc.
Yes.
Community.
I've got you.
And or, obviously, the Samaritans on 116123.
Yeah.
But the Switchboard advice line, I think he should ring. But in my view, from the various voluntary work I've done over a lot of years, which I think amounts to longer than you've been alive, as to say, get out. And for also for him to look up the term coercive control.
Yeah.
Coercive control. Look up that and read up all about that. It's the ways people can socially manipulate. It may not seem it to him. And there's also another term called gaslighting.
Yeah.
Which he needs to read up about. That's yeah. being a sort of serious thing. But
I know what you mean. I think this feeling that if you're in a relationship where you feel like you're the only person that can help someone, they need you, it's a strange one, this one, because it feels like that this guy is at once pushing him away, but at the same time,
it's an elastic band.
Yeah.
Name is an elastic band.
Relying on him, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also the only place he's got to go. So he's not going to other groups, people, this, that, and the other. So he sort of becomes, I think the word addicted is sort of a bit strong, but reliant on that one social network or group of people. And he's 18 years old, and we're all like that at that age. You know, and people think they're older and all that lot, and you get older, and then you think, yes, you were younger then and all that lot, even in our age groups.
Yeah.
But it's to the world than what he's seeing at the moment.
I know what you mean. There is also a point, isn't there, that there, I think there is a scientific thing about the teenage brain is still developing till you're in your mid-20s, and so your ability to make judgment isn't the same as someone who's a bit older.
Think of the classic Harry Enfield. People can find it on YouTube if they want, but is where he turns into, was it Kevin?
Yeah.
And he shuts the fridge door, and it's sort of the brain, and it's quite scientifically proven that the brain, particularly with the male teens, is rewiring.
Yeah.
It is completely rewiring. And the Kevin character just goes, duh, you know, and it's, oh, no, you know, and heavy and all the rest of it, whatever. But it's, and it's a literal thing that happens, what was it, about from about 10 to 20 years old, even referring back to that gentleman that rung up, when was it? Was it Tuesday? It was a week Tuesday, about the 10-year-old, and he was worried about him being gay.
I do worry about things like that when the parents' expectations on the kid, you know, and they start judging and start worrying, and, you know, you don't want to pass on your hang-ups to a kid who's still forming and working out who he or she is, you know?
Well, if I might be blunt, is the gentleman that was ringing in, I think he was imposing his viewpoints on the situation.
Yeah.
You know, just because he's speaking to girls and not into football doesn't mean he's gay. Talk Radio.